Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are wrapping up our look at Chapter 3 in the book The Grace Awakening, a book written by Charles Swindoll, who was a pastor in Texas. I mentioned before that I came across this book in a small group setting, and I was infatuated by it because even though the book was not written directly to Mormons, it was written more to legalistic Christians, I found that much of what Swindoll had to say would certainly apply to many who are members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The reason why I chose to look at Chapter 3, Isn't Grace Risky, is because many times Mormons make some of the same charges that Swindoll brings up among legalistic Christians. These are some of the same things that they would probably bring up as well. We are getting now to page 38 in this book, where he talks about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and we had mentioned Bonhoeffer before. Now, we're going to tell you straight up that we understand that some of the things that Dietrich Bonhoeffer believed theologically is certainly debatable. There are some things that theologians even debate about Bonhoeffer today, but he said a lot of things that I think are very important that we should probably take notice of. One of these has to do with one of the books that he wrote, The Cost of Discipleship, where Bonhoeffer was expressing his displeasure in the German church and how they tended to abuse the doctrine of grace, which is exactly what we are talking about this week. Towards the bottom of page 38, he talks about Bonhoeffer in this cheap grace. What does he say, Eric?
He says, cheap grace justifies a sin rather than the sinner. True grace, on the other hand, justifies a sinner, not the sin. Let me encourage you not to be afraid of true grace because some have misrepresented it as cheap grace. In spite of the very real risks, grace is worth it all.
And I think that's important to remember because many times Mormons will look at grace as a license to sin or in justifying the sin. And that's not what Bonhoeffer was saying. That's not what Swindoll is saying. And that is certainly not what we are saying. He goes on at the bottom of this page to talk about the alternatives to grace. And Swindoll says this, if I choose not to risk, if I go the safe route and determine not to promote either salvation by grace or a lifestyle of grace, what are the alternatives? And then he lists four that he says come to mind. And I have to agree with him when he says all of which are popular these days. Point number one, he says, I can emphasize works over grace. Now, I don't know if a Mormon would say it like that, but they certainly do give the impression that works are at least just as important as their concept of grace. They would say that the grace that they believe in enables them to keep all of the commandments. And of course, keeping the commandments is absolutely essential if a Mormon hopes to achieve the best his religion has. The point, though, is that works, as he says, follow faith. Behavior follows belief. Fruit comes after the tree is well rooted. And then he quotes Martin Luther. What does he say there on page 39?
No one can be good and do good unless God's grace first makes him good. And no one becomes good by works, but good works are done only by him who is good. Just so the fruits do not make the tree, but the tree bears the fruit. Therefore, all works, no matter how good they are and how pretty they look, are in vain if they do not flow from grace.
So we certainly understand where the source is of our good works. They are not certainly born out of our own sinful desires. It is an act of grace that God bestows upon his people. In point number two, he says, I can give you a list of do's and don'ts. Doesn't that sound very familiar to Mormonism? I mean, they are given this whole long list of things that they can do and they can't do. I mean, look at the Word of Wisdom.
Yeah.
I mean, the Word of Wisdom is a classic example. You can't have hot drinks, okay? There's prohibitions on how much meat you can eat. And certainly there's a whole long list of things that Mormons are supposed to do and things that they're not supposed to do.
Well, and as Swindoll says here, you fail to keep the list, you're out. You can't get into a Mormon temple, which is necessary for one's individual salvation or exaltation, unless you have, and I don't know if there are 14 questions, how many exactly there are, but the bishop will ask you these things. Now, granted, I mean, a lot of those things are important things, such as, are you sexually pure? I think as Christians, we need to be sexually pure. Are you obeying the word of wisdom? Are you having any hot drinks? Those kinds of things, though, when you come to all these rules, some of them are just willy-nilly. However they want to interpret these things. And unless you're keeping each one of those, you can't get in. I think that's a major point here. There's no grace there.
Point number three, he says, I can leave no room for any gray areas. Everything is either black or white, right or wrong, and as a result, the leader maintains strict control over the followers. Fellowship is based on whether there is full agreement. Herein lies the tragedy. The self-righteous, rigid standard becomes more important than relationships with individuals. We first check out where people stand on the issues, and then we determine whether we will spend much time with them. The bottom line is this. We want to be right, as we see it, of course, more than we want to love our neighbor as ourselves. At that point, our personal preference eclipses any evidence of love. I am of the firm conviction that where grace exists, so must various areas of gray. And you know what? I guess in my many years of being a Christian, I found myself having to be more gracious with others. I know that's one of the problems that I see in many ex-Mormons. And a person will come out of Mormonism and they will see that they were wrong. They will come to faith in Christ. And what do? They start, barraging their parents that are still in the Mormon church or some of the friends that are in the Mormon church. And they are expecting them to come to their level. And I often caution ex-Mormons, be careful about that, because remember, how long did it take you to get where you are? Mm-hmm. We can't expect everybody else to be at the same level where you happen to be right now in life. Any more than I, as a Christian believer, when I look at people within my own church and my own congregation, I could easily look down on some of these thinking they should know better. Well, and maybe they shouldn't know better. Maybe that's part of their growth period. And where was I when I was in that position, or I was saved only as many years as they've been saved? So it's easy to look down our nose at other people. And that's what legalism does, because you've got this list and you better maintain the list.
I think that applies to people in the church. I mean, our own brothers and sisters that we just need to be so careful of.
Absolutely. Not,
because we can really squash somebody, as you say, that is younger in the faith. I think sometimes we just got to learn what grace is all about.
In point number four, he says, I can cultivate a judgmental attitude towards those who may not agree or cooperate with my plan. He says, grace killers are notorious for a judgmental attitude. It is perhaps the single most unchristlike characteristic in evangelical circles today. A quick glance back through the time tunnel will prove beneficial. Jesus found himself standing before the brain trust of legalism, the Pharisees. Listening to him were also many who believed in him. He had been presenting his message to the crowd. It was a message of hope, of forgiveness, of freedom. You know, when he talks about people who don't cooperate with my plan, you know, you and I are passionate about the subject of Mormonism. We don't expect everybody else to have that same passion that we have. Now, I would certainly hope that any Christian who wants to share their faith with their Mormon friends might at least give us an ear, and hopefully we can help them in that discourse that they are hoping to have. But I certainly don't expect everybody to be reading all that we read on the subject or study it like we do.
Or because they don't go down to Manti, they must not be as good at us as us, because we're so spiritual. We go down to Manti or we go down to the Temple Square. Okay, well, there are people who are doing other things, and that's why
Certainly.
We have a body. The Bible's very clear that we're all pieces of the puzzle.
And we should not look down our nose because someone else might not share the same passions that we share. And I think that is a huge trap that I think the devil would love to use to divide brethren. We're all doing something, hopefully, for the cause of Christ. And maybe your interest is in this area, and I would say, great, God bless you, more power to you. But I don't expect you to have all the same passions that I would have, any more than I would hope that you don't think I should have the same passions that you might have. It's not that I don't think what you're doing is important. It's just my heart is somewhere else. God has moved in me in this certain direction, and we need to respect that.
And we've got different homeless ministries here in town or pregnancy care centers. I mean, those are wonderful things, and we want to encourage them. Do your work.
We want to end today on the bottom of page 41 where Swindoll talks about how we were without Christ. Why don't you read that last part?
He says, when we were without Christ, we were like ancient slaves on the slave block, consumed by the hopelessness of our depravity, lost, chained to sin, joyless, empty, spiritually bankrupt. All we could do was say to God, have mercy, guilty as charged, I am enslaved to my passions, I am not free to obey my Savior. But once Christ took charge, he overthrew our old master and freed us to obey. Before conversion, all of us were in bondage to sin. After conversion, we were set free. Free to obey. That is grace.
Now that's classic, because what he is saying there is just the opposite of what many Mormons think. They think, oh, that's free to sin. No, it's free to obey. We find our justification in what Jesus did for us, and out of that great appreciation that we have for what he has bestowed upon us, undeservedly, because we certainly don't deserve anything but God's judgment. We are rebellious people, but yet God in his mercy sheds this grace upon us, and because of that, we are free to live a life that gives him honor and glory. Are we going to do that consistently 100% of the time? No. But nonetheless, we have the freedom to obey. And as you said, that is grace.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Let me ask you this. Are you confidently prepared to share your faith with your Latter-day Saint friend or acquaintance? Do you feel you have an adequate grasp of Mormon doctrine and history? Well, if not, then we encourage you to attend Mormonism Research Ministry's Compassionate Boldness Symposium coming up on Saturday, March 23rd. This four-hour event will take place at Shadow Mountain Church in West Jordan, Utah. MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will focus on such issues such as the Book of Mormon, the Godhead, and salvation. Special emphasis will be made on how to answer LDS proof texts and the questions Mormons may pose. Now again, this event is free and open to the public, so everyone is invited to come. For those who would like to do further research, a book table will also be available. This Compassionate Boldness Symposium will take place starting at 9 a.m. on Saturday, March 23rd at Shadow Mountain Church, located just off Old Bingham Highway at 9324 South and 5600 West in West Jordan. As always, we look forward to seeing you there.